right, welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 89, The Cancer Within Capitalism and Humanity. All right, welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast. I am your host, Wei Hong, and
Pamela Gregory.
She's our co-host today, our guest co-host today, kind of like, you know, the Kelly and whatever show, whenever she has a guest co-host comes on or something like that. Only I'm not Kelly. She could be Kelly. Now, this is the podcast where we talk about money, tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs to help you create that ultimate entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six-Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on the show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you are joining us live today and you are not on YouTube Live, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag or pound sign, or they, as they say in Japan, sharp, which is a musical term, I suppose, hashtag The Money Lab, so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us, your hosts. Now, while you're there, subscribe so you don't miss an episode and can catch us every single week. For all of the ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something you love about what you hear on this episode today that you know could help someone you care about, and you probably will due to the topic of today's discussion or today's episode, remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. Okay? I'm really excited about our show today because not only do I have a guest co-host, I haven't had one in a really long time, but we're going to be talking about some of the biggest reasons why many of us grow up having an aversion to making money a friendly and loving partner in our lives. So a few things you want to listen for is this, is basically one of the things you want to listen for is which models in modern day capitalism, by the way, for those of you who don't know what capitalism is, it's kind of the world we live in where there's money used as a means of commerce and it's a society thing, okay? But what models in modern day capitalism are keeping many of us stuck in mediocrity? How cancer is being used in capitalism in a way that keeps cancer an epidemic problem. This is a big, heavy topic, but we're going to talk about it today because, what? We don't care. I don't care. So what, and also listen for what you can do to make sure that you don't get caught up in capitalism, cancer, bad money story trap. Ooh, some really big, heavy stuff today. You know, I was talking to my our marketing team, and I said, you know, this is going to be our topic today because you, as our co-host, Pamela, to talk about what is going on today and how there is not just cancer alone, because everybody knows what cancer is, but I don't think many people know that there is a cancer that lives within capitalism that is also reflected out there. But let's give our audience a little bit of reminder, because you've been on our show before. Let's give our audience a little bit of reminder of who you are and what is it that you do being a co-host here today.
Well, my background has been in health and fitness for over 30-some years, and about 15 years ago, I got more involved in the emotional fitness aspect of health, and with that came a lot of understanding and research around the topic of forgiveness and the powerful role that plays in our healing in all aspects of life, whether it's our physical body or even forgiving our bad money stories, as we've discussed on another show that Wei and I had together a few months ago. So, but anyway, so the reason we're here today is to share so much about, again, how, whether it's a cancer in the body or cancerous thoughts and how we lead our lives that feed our bad money stories. And because it all is around capitalism, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the cancer within capitalism, right. I think for a lot of people, because we get caught up in what's going on, it actually, for some people, on a personal, on a consumer level, when there's cancer in capitalism within the capitalistic kind of world that we live in, it will sometimes show up in us individually. Now, one of the reasons I think the inspiration of having you come on the show today was due to some recent events that you've become privy to as to which kind of violates a lot of the value systems a lot of us have out there when it comes to family and mother and child and everything like that. So, you know, remember, today's episode is called The Cancer Within Capitalism and Humanity. So why don't we start off with that story of what exactly is happening currently right now that we can speak to so that we can kind of shed some light as to why that's actually happening?
Well, this is literally breaking news. I was contacted by Dr. Garcia from Utopia Wellness. It was a cancer clinic I worked at in outside of Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. And he called me the other day to let me know about a young man. I'll just use his first name for now because we're not cleared on everything. But his young man, 13 years old, named Nicholas, who had cancer, who had leukemia, and is now cancer-free. And his mother chooses to treat his health now in a certain direction, take his health into a direction that she supports and her young son supports. But Child Protective Services got involved, and from what I understand, they removed him from her home not once but twice, from his home in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, came in and removed this young man from his home because the doctors at some point deemed that he should continue with chemotherapy for the next 3 years.
Wait. Let me get this straight. So his cancer is gone. He's healed from cancer.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
That's what I understand.
Yes. And he's 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know in California, when children get to 12, they can actually choose. At that point, they're deemed old enough to be able to choose which parent they want to be in. Let's say they're in a divorce situation. The child at the age of 12 can already decide that. So most of the governmental type of, they recognize that children after the age of 12 can actually start making certain decisions on their own.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just to kind of make that clear, which is kind of unbelievable to me, the cancer is gone, but the doctor still wants to keep the kid on chemo.
Well, the doctor's in New York, let me preface that, not Dr. Garcia. Dr. Garcia
Right.
treated him for some other issues that to support his health, you know, to get his health boosted back up, because according to the mother, when we spoke, the first round of chemo almost killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she doesn't want this to continue, and she is going to go alternative routes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does chemo, that is supposed to help you save your life when it comes to, from that perspective, how did they determine that chemo almost killed him?
Because his health, through his blood panels. Again, this is from what I understand. I just read through the court documents briefly before the show, mm-hmm. and just from what I understand is, you know, because his liver enzymes and a lot of things were so off whack that his health really declined after the first mm-hmm. round of chemo.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told me before that there were different discussions. Who was the doctor that talked about it's not the cancer that kills you, but it's the chemo, it's treatment that kills you?
Yes, there's a lot of this can be found on The Truth About Cancer, and mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, people have their differing opinions about that. But what they want to do is educate people. And
mm-hmm.
from what I found through a lot of different sources, not just there, but chemo doesn't kill stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why oftentimes it comes back, because
the cancer comes back.
The cancer comes back.
Right.
And so, you know, again, I mean, the tumor can shrink and whatever, and that's all and wonderful, and the patients will get a cancer-free diagnosis, and then months and years down the road, oh, all of a sudden it came back, and then they think, oh, well, the doctor didn't get it all, and so forth. And that's really not the case. It's, again, it's because it didn't kill the stem cells, which
mm-hmm.
is where, you know, the cancer comes from in the beginning. So.
Right.
And
so,
again, this is something you can Google that
right.
chemo
yeah.
does not.
I mean, just
stem
Google it. I mean, right? So Nicholas basically went through rounds of chemo and through that round of chemo, and probably some of the work that, you know, his mom took him through as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like his mom is, you know, is pretty, you know, open to all kinds of ways to heal, right? So he was able to eliminate cancer. So he was deemed, even the doctors determined he was cancer free at
right.
that point.
Right.
Okay.
And again, and one judge ordered the fact that he could go back to his house and, you know, be under his mother's care.
Okay.
And then again, this is all in New York, and I don't even want to give out the hospital's name.
Right.
But the hospital that he was initially treated at said that he should continue in the chemo treatments and took her back to
court. What was their reasoning for saying that?
We don't know. We don't know.
He should continue, even
right.
though the
now he's, like I said, the young man's cancer free, and he doesn't want to continue on with the chemo, but, you know, he has no choice. And so they removed him from the home. He's staying with...
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning. I mean, here's a child. I mean, one thing I know about the work that I do is stress is such a leading component in our dis-ease.
Maybe they did that on purpose to bring the cancer back.
I'm
big on just like calling out conspiracy theory. Yeah. Whether or not it's true, I'm just going to call it out.
What?
There's a possibility, right?
Well,
I mean, capitalism does funny things to people. And the reason why I wanted to bring this onto the show today was because, you know, what people don't realize, what drives a lot of these behavioral patterns? What drives big pharma? It's expensive to do chemo.
Very expensive.
Profitable to do chemo.
Hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
You know, if you want to take a look at a cancerous approach to capitalism, take a look at the medical industry, take a look at big pharma, and I hope I don't get, you know, disappear all of a sudden one day for calling that, because I've heard these stories of people calling out big pharma and killing the medical industry because it's such a lucrative industry. It's a billion dollar industry. I don't even know what the statistics are for chemo. I mean, for chemo treatments.
Some say 3% success rate. Okay, and then other sites show, you know, 60%. But the success rate is if you're alive 5 years and one day after chemo treatment, it's considered... You've healed, your chemo healed your cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, regardless of what condition that you're in,
mm-hmm.
or how many times it's come back, you know.
Right.
And so, again, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But the bottom line is, again, if you look up, you know, does chemo kill stem cells? And from what I've been able to find on various sites, and it's not just certain sites, it says it does not. And that's what most people don't understand. That, and when you ask your doctor certain questions,
right.
How do I stay healthy? How are you going to help keep me healthy while I'm doing the chemo? Many of them they won't let you take vitamins. There's a lot of things that are counterproductive to the chemo treatment.
I mean, the things that your body needs to kind of naturally heal,
right.
And I don't understand. You know, I don't understand why that is. I mean, I just took a quick look right now while you were talking, and just in terms of, because I'm always looking at the money side of peace and why there's problems in our world of capitalism. I mean, there's good things, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard also in chemo, in certain very specific situations, chemo actually does work, but it's such a small niche of where it actually works. I heard it shouldn't be used in such a ubiquitous fashion in terms of all cancer, to cure all cancer. I mean, I just looked it up right now. I mean, over an 8-week treatment period, the cost of chemotherapy is upwards of $30,000 or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, times that, times a whole year, times 5 years. So, you know,
how many people? I mean, what is it? One out of three right now? You tell me. There's a recent statistic that you saw.
Said, yeah.
One out of three people
are going to get cancer at some point in their lifetime. Mm-hmm.
And how do we even predict that they're going to get cancer? Is mm-hmm. because of the high stress and, you know, anxiety ridden world that we live in, the capitalistic world where there's a big stress and drive to make money and have to make money and mm-hmm. and do whatever it takes to make money. Do you think that has something to do with that anxiety and that stress that we?
Sure, it's a big contributing factor. I mean, the stress is, you know, 90% of all doctor visits are stress related. But what's stress? You know,
mm-hmm.
and again, everybody, you know, it presents in each person individually, I mean, and they're uniquely. I mean, some people get cancer, some people get fibromyalgia, some people get, you know, addiction issues and all of that. But again, it's a big, big problem. And, you know, we live in a very fear-driven society, and it's all of this fear underlying so many areas of our life that contribute to dis-ease on all levels, and not just, you know, body, mind, and spirit, but in our financial life and
mm-hmm.
every other area. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, just follow the money trail on all of this stuff. And, you know, again, most doctors, you know, their intention is to
mm-hmm.
heal.
Right. And if we follow the money trail, do you believe that what we'll find and what drives most of these ridiculous decisions, like mm-hmm. separating a now cancer-free child from their mom because they believe that they need to apply more cancer or chemo treatments, did they get a court order for that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God. Okay, and if we follow that trail, then what drives that? It's money. If it wasn't for money, what is it for?
Well, I mean, again, and I don't know what this doctor's reasoning is behind it, but he believes this is what the child needs. But I really don't want to make this all about chemo and all of that. To me, it's about choice. It's the a mother's and father's choice of how to treat their children
mm-hmm.
and not to have government and all of these other... institutions, you know, child protective services and all of that to get involved. I mean, and again,
right.
They're needed for a certain, you know, obviously the Child Protective Services, I'm not on their case at all. They do a lot of good, and they do protect
children. I know a lot of people who work in child protective stuff, and it's heartbreaking for them, and they say, God, some there are days I hate my job because I have to do these things. I have to save the child's life.
Right.
And I wonder what's going through the mind if the child protectors, they were just obviously given an order to do it.
Sure.
If they really knew what was going on,
right? And they have, I mean, and it's pretty much spelled out. So there is no, and again, there is no rational understanding why this child needs this. And if the first round of chemo almost killed him, and he's got 3 years ahead of this, I mean, can you imagine?
He may not even come out.
Well, that's what they're saying, and this young man is being basically victimized from the system, and you know why, we don't know.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I want to talk about it, and we need to link it back to that, because I believe because of the world we live in, and because of certain cancers and methods that we live within capitalism that create this aversion. And so what it's instances like these, the reason why I wanted to share the story on the show today was it's instances like these that we become aware of that then plant seeds within a lot of us growing up that money is bad. You know, that there's all this aversion to it, and then they say, well, because if money is driving big pharma and medical industry to make these terrible decisions, then I don't want money in my life.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be involved with that, and it sucks because, you know, money doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we talk about all the time is that people like to blame guns for the problem. Now, granted, yeah, we shouldn't have. Probably shouldn't need assault rifles for a consumer market because what do you need that for anyway, right? You know, a pistol and a rifle here and there to go hunting, but nobody hunts with an assault rifle because that's ridiculous. But anyway, but you know, people like to blame the guns, but when in fact it's the people who use the guns. And the same thing with money. You know, people like to blame money because money is inanimate. It doesn't care if you blame it. And then from there, we miss the whole point. It's that it's who is using the money,
right?
Well,
money can do a lot of good, as you know. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, you can, you know, bring so many great things into the world by having the right support to be able to do that. You know, so it's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, but again, it has been given a bad rap, and you know, money is the root of all evil, and you know, all of that. But in this case, when things are, like I said, when it comes to healthcare and something being taken out of a parent's hands and put into the hands of the government and big pharma and all of that, you know, I mean, it has a very dark side to it.
Yeah, it's that, and unfortunately, it tends to be money driven.
Right.
Now, granted, if we were living in a socialistic or not even that, well, you know, it depends because I wonder if the doctor is just using this as a way to do more research.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, this young man Nicholas is just representative of. I mean, this is one case that I heard about, but I mean, this has to be going on in thousands of cases across the country.
There has to be precedents in order for this to kind of like them to easily just get something and just separate mom from child.
Right, right.
You know, I can only imagine what she's going through right now. I don't know if she's, you know, got a husband or she's a single mom or whatever the case may be, but I mean, it doesn't mean matter. I mean, imagine, you know, for those of you who do have children, imagine that you've just gone through this whole ordeal. You've got this new lease on life. You saved your child's life. And all of a sudden in the middle of the night, because the doctor's saying, well, no, it's not good enough. And even though the cancer is gone, we're going to keep pumping chemicals in him just so that it quote unquote doesn't come back.
Right. And chemo actually has been linked to leukemia. This MLA leukemia is often a side effect of having chemo from treating another cancer.
Right. And the more chemo that you do, the harder it is for your body to get back to its natural healing capabilities.
Right. Because it really, I mean, not only does it address the cancer and kill the cancer cells, but it also kills healthy cells. And that's, you know, so every time you get it back, the immune system is further compromised and you're starting out at a lesser place than you did the first time when you had it. And it's just this vicious cycle.
Right.
And so that's why so many people end up having to be on it for the rest of their life. But how long is life, you know, for that individual?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's why we wanted to talk about this today, because, you know, everything that we see around us, and especially in the world of capitalism that we live in, everything is somehow linked to that, especially when it comes to what motivates and drives people to make weird, funky decisions like that. And, you know, the cancer that we see around us and everybody else, I mean, if we think about everybody else that is dealing with cancer and then is being sold on different things that need to happen in order to quote-unquote keep themselves from cancer, because a lot of the work that you do is actually to help people tap into their ability to heal their own bodies. Because for those that truly understand the power of the human body is that the human body actually naturally wants to heal.
Sure.
And it's a very powerful healing mechanism. What gets in the way is stress, anxiety, worry, mindset, emotional trauma, all these different things that interrupt the mental and emotional capability that the blueprint that the body naturally has.
Right.
I think the work that you do helps people tap into that again so that they can get their body to do what it's designed to do. Because, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know, and I say this all the time, we have cancer cells in our body all the time. Mm-hmm. Our body just, you know, normally if our body is healthy and everything, it gets rid of the cancer cells every day.
Right.
You know, it just in and out because
That's what a healthy immune system does.
Yeah. Right. We're out and about. We have toxicity in the air. There's people that smoke. There's people that vape. I just saw a thing article today about the guy they call Vaping King or something like that. The FDA is finally cracking down on a more proactive level to kind of eliminate that. But I mean, all these toxins around us, and even nature, you know, when the recent fires and everything that have been going on,
right.
I mean, just nature itself can contribute to a lot of the stressors in our life. And if our body is clean, healthy, and we're of healthy, you know, mind and soul and, you know, and energy and everything like that, our bodies can manage that.
Right. I mean, our body is programmed for health. And,
yeah.
You know, but the thing is we interrupt it by either our negative thoughts and beliefs, you know,
mm-hmm.
toxic thoughts and beliefs, or toxic things of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, chemo is a toxin.
Right.
Anybody will tell you that. And so, again, you weigh the odds. And again, you know, each person judges for themselves. I would
mm-hmm.
never tell or advise or recommend. I mean, I'm not a doctor. So I don't pretend
I'm not
to be.
Either, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Just thought you guys should know.
But again, I mean, to have all of the information, do your own research, and find that there are ways that boost the system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Utopia Wellness, that was run by a medical doctor, we only do life-enhancing to life-supportive treatments there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's about boosting the immune system to give it the best chance it has to heal versus, you know, compromise it, and we're knocking you down. And, you know, Dr. Garcia, I remember one time he told me, he said, you know, no general ever won two battles simultaneously.
Right.
And that's what we're facing here when you have cancer that your body is, you know, trying to clear, and then you add the chemo to it, and again, and it looks good or it sounds like it makes sense, but bottom line is it you know, as we all know, or most of us know, it really does zap your immune system, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, some people just don't recover. And so I just wanted to preface this one, make this one point, that this one YouTube video I was watching, the man shared how if it doesn't kill stem cells, he says, then, you know, when somebody dies from cancer, they'll say, how many people do we know died from cancer? And, you know, there were 100 people in the room and everybody raised their hand. And then he went on to explain that just because somebody dies who had cancer, it wasn't necessarily the cancer that killed them. It was the treatment. Okay, and most people aren't aware of that. And so when they went around the room and how many people didn't have chemo, how many people died of cancer, and there was only one person that they knew had died of cancer who
didn't go through the
right.
the current medical
right.
practices.
And again, this is hearsay, whatever. Everybody do your own research, but I just wanted to put it out there for conversation and to look and find this information out for yourself, because an informed patient is a healthier patient.
But therein lies the problem, too. And I think the same thing happens when there's money issues and money challenges, is that there's so much stuff out there that depending on which rabbit hole you go down, it will direct you into a specific belief or specific end result.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are some beliefs out there that there are people who are genetically predisposed to have cancer. And then if they happen to go down that rabbit hole that supports that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, I mean, and just like how we, you know, when someone has money challenges and they start to go down strategies on how to fix their problem, how to make, you know, what I love about our approach here in terms of how we help people eliminate money anxiety, the byproduct is they get healthier.
Right.
The byproduct is they have a better life. And it's not just fixing their money problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's also fixing the health problems. Why? Because it all starts with in here.
Right.
You know, everything that we perceive out there, everything that's a circumstance, an end result, the cancer is an end result of years or, you know, a lifetime of just just barraging just conflict and, you know, stress and anxiety on a mental emotional level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do people know then which rabbit hole to pursue? Because, you know, the great thing about where the world we live in today is that there's endless amounts of resources. You can Google anything. And at the same time, that's why Wikipedia used to be, okay, but then all of a sudden they realize anybody can contribute to Wikipedia. So even, you know, incorrect information could be posted on there too. So right. How do people discern, you know, like they do with, well, which strategy works for me and which strategy works for that person when it comes to resolving my money problems? Which strategy for me when it will work for me for cancer? I mean, what do they look for? Does it start with what is my intention, or does it start with, well, let me see what's out there?
Well, I think, again, I mean, if it were me, I would assess all the information. I would take my doctor's recommendation and advice, and I would see, you know, more than one doctor. And
you mean get a second opinion?
Second opinion and mm-hmm. all of that. And then, you know, again, but weigh the odds. Do my own research. You know, ask him how he's going to help keep me healthy while I'm doing the chemo, if that's the route I choose to go. You know, ask him, if this were you, would you be going this route? Because mm-hmm. from what I read somewhere, 80% of all chemo doctors said that they wouldn't take chemo. Now, again, I don't know if this is true, mm-hmm. but this is, you know, I've known people who left oncology because they didn't feel at peace with what they're prescribing for their patients.
Right.
So, again, it's do your own research. There's a lot of medical evidence that shows that the combination of MSN and vitamin C, the MSN opens up the cell so the vitamin C can get into the cell and actually revert the cancer cell back to a healthy cell.
And again, do your research because, yeah. Like I said, Pamela's not a right. doctor, or I'm right. not a doctor. But, you know, these are things that you can find out and learn mm-hmm. about and make your own judgment about certain things.
Right.
Now, tell me, I know when it comes to people who are struggling with money and people are struggling with their finances and stuff like that, belief that they can actually make money or they can actually have a better life. They're not just born into a bad money story and they have to just live with it. How much does belief then have an impact on cancer?
Huge. It's everything. I mean, one of my favorite heroes, doctors, mentors, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's
the Biology of Belief.
Biology
That's the book.
Belief, yep.
Used to be a required reading for all my clients, actually. They have to read that book. Then I realized how dry it was. So I said, you know, you could read it. It's highly recommended, but read the second half of the book.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty scientific, the first half. But, I mean, basically what he says, I mean, he was a cell biologist at mm-hmm. the University of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin. He had tenure, the whole thing. And what he realized that what he was teaching was incorrect. That was what was in the medical books is incorrect.
And how did he realize that, by the way?
Well, he had been cloning stem cells since the 70s, and what he found that if the cell isn't thriving, you change the environment. And so, like a plant, if you put a plant in a closet and uh-huh. don't water it and give it light, it's not going to do very well. And like our home environment.
Oh, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
It's not growing plants in a closet without water and sunlight.
Right. But you take the plant out and you give it some water and some sunlight and it can come back to life if it's not already dead. Mm-hmm. And that's what changing our beliefs are, because our beliefs create our inner environment, which translates into our outer environment.
Right.
So what we're experiencing and how we're processing the world around us mm-hmm. is directly impacting our health.
Because would you say like, yeah, would you say like organisms down to the single cell amoeba, right, intrinsically want to live, intrinsically want to survive,
yes.
you know, and we as human beings, complex human multi-celled organisms, we have a lot of single cells in us, and each individual cell, to a certain degree, has its own little mind of its own, even though it's not a mind, but it's still a cell,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so would that explain why sometimes we have like, We don't have cancer of the body. We have a cancer in a specific area.
Right.
Right. And I think that's a lot of where the New World Medicine, Dr. Hammer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He started to identify correlation to different types of cancer, to different types of traumas, and
right.
different type of belief systems, stuff like that.
Right.
And I think part of what happened to him, rest in peace, was that he started getting ousted and chased all over the place because it would challenge the current capitalistic model of medicine, of how the medical industry makes its money.
Right.
I mean, you see it in everywhere. I mean, same thing. I had an inventor friend or inventor that wanted to help me to help him bring a version of the electric car that would actually blow Tesla out of the water. But he had it created.
He's a nice guy.
I know he's a nice guy, you know. I know him personally. Anyway, so back in the 80s was when he had that car. But he when he brought it over from Taiwan to the United States, he was afraid that he would get killed by the people in the oil industry. And so he kept it under wraps, and then one day the car was gone. It was stolen. Yeah. You know, because it was a cool technology, the electric car, the motors were actually built into the wheels. So each wheel had a very efficient motor in it, which made it really super efficient. Even in the 80s, he didn't even need a gas tank. It's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so
incredible.
I mean, a lot of the technology we see today has the military and everything had access to it 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, it's kind of like they just said, "Oh, we'll just let this go out." You know, "We'll just let this go out now." Kind of like, you know, the Cure for Humanity thing that you're doing.
Right.
You know, they had that technology for a long time and they finally said, "Okay, fine. We'll let you guys use it."
Right.
You know, it's a really, really cool technology. And you know, I don't know if it's, I mean, conspiracy theorists can be talking about this till the cows come home. And, you know, when it comes to capitalism and everything like that, kind of the same thing. And when we talk about capitalism, it's kind of to help you understand the world that we're currently living in and how we can understand, based on what we see happening, what to pay attention to help us, you know, achieve our financial goals, and what not to pay attention to. Okay, and to buy into these behavior patterns so that it actually keeps us playing small. I mean, think about the fear and the fear and all that happens when people find out about this story that you just shared, and now they're worried about this. And then when they realize that it's a money-driven type of behavior, a big part of it's because of big pharma. I just read, and I think in 2006, NBC News talked about how oncologists and doctors are now allowed to profit from the chemicals that or the meds that are distributed for cancer, you know, healing, you know, practices. Okay. Now all of a sudden, you know, and I think that was a terrible idea, because if now doctor can start profiting off of what they prescribe as a solution, then you got to kind of wonder, what drives that? You know, I remember going to school, and I think you do as well, like when we were going to school, that being a doctor was actually highly sought after because it was a highly lucrative career.
Right.
And I think over the years, because of the litigious nature of world that we live in,
right. Insurance and all of that.
Insurance and all of that, it has become less and less lucrative. And all of a sudden, I mean, which is kind of a good thing, I think, because now the people who want to be doctors truly want to be doctors. Mm-hmm. And they're not like driven by, like, a lot of people in my culture. It's like, well, it makes a lot of money.
Right.
and so I think what happens is when you have a deprived industry of doctors who are great, you know, they're highly trained, saving people's lives, and they're just barely getting by financially, that when now they're given an opportunity to profit off of big pharma themselves, how does that then impact them? Because at the end of the day, they're still human. They probably have lives, you know, and mouths to feed at home and families to support. And all of a sudden now this means that their child can go to college. Let's say we were doctors, and then we were, you know, made this commitment to help and heal, you know, humans, humanity.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there's a thing that passes by the lobbyists that says, hey, by the way, if you prescribe this particular set of medication, you can make more money, as much as 25-30% off of the total cost of it all. And then in your mind, you're like calculating, it's like, oh my God, I can now send my kids to college, whereas before I couldn't, and I was stressed, and I don't know what to do because I boxed in. I'm a doctor, and I can't do anything else because I'm full time. You know, we have to now think about it. You know, we can't vilify the other human beings that are involved in this process that much, because if we think about it, if you were a doctor in place in that position, what would you do? What would you say? Or worse yet, what if your kid has some kind of a disease that needs more money, but you yourself, even as a doctor, can't afford it because you're not making enough as a doctor anymore.
Right. I mean, again, that's a very individual choice, and each doctor has to ask themselves that. I mean, I know a lot of doctors who got out of just dropped all insurance because they realized, number one, they weren't getting paid nearly what they were getting paid before,
right?
You know, with the insurance companies and all of that, and they started their private practices, and they don't take insurance for that very reason, is they priced it so out of the ballpark that it's, you know, it doesn't even make sense for so many people. Right. And a lot of people can't even afford insurance. And then so where does that put you? But again, most doctors get into the field, I believe, you know, that they really want to heal people. But again, when
I think
it comes,
now they do. Ever yeah, since, like, yeah. you know, but now it, we see doctors that go and say, okay, well, you're not going to make as much money as you used to before.
Right.
Because it used to be doctors when they first came out. I think back in the 80s and 90s when doctors first came out, they were like, it's almost like a quarter million or 100,000 plus a year job, like right off the gate, right out of the gate.
Right.
Now it's like a longer process. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's pros and cons to all that, right?
Right. Yeah. And again, there's certain fields that tend to be more along that line than others. But mm-hmm. again, when it comes to following the money trail and all of that, and you know what is in the patient's best interest, and you know, again, if this was your child or your you know, somebody in your family that you love and care about, would you use the same type of treatment that you're recommending for a patient? And I think that's something that we need to look at. And again, what I, you know, I wanted to bring this talk back to a little bit is that, you know, the choice, and that's what this is about. Because if they can do this with this mother's, with this young man, mm-hmm. you know, 13 years old, they can mm-hmm. do that to this little boy who doesn't want it. His mother and his father doesn't want it.
Right.
You know, they have no say. So at what point, where is that going to stop? I mean, are they going to do the same thing with adults and say, well, if you don't get a flu shot, you don't get your income tax return or something?
Right, right.
I mean, where does it stop? You know, I mean, if you don't, you know, and you know, medical choice should be our choice and our children's choice until they're of age. Or we choose for our children until it's, you know, they are of age. But again, to do this, you know, I mean, and again, this isn't just one case. This is, you know, I'm sure going on all over the country, but the mother is starting a petition, and we'll be circulating that mm-hmm. because we need to raise awareness for this young man so he can stop these treatments that he...
Well, he can go home.
Go home, number one.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's as if that's an oversight. But to stop the treatments and have a better shot at living, because they don't think he's going to make it if he continues on in this path. I mean, a lot of...
Because if he's cancer-free, but they just keep pumping more meds in him and stuff like that as a way to, like, keep it from coming. I don't even understand why that...
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, the doctors that I've seen that have looked at the case said this makes zero sense medically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again.
So we'll make sure that we put a link to the petition that is actually being put together in the comments as of now. And so we were hoping to be able to get it by the time the show started. But, you know, this is mm-hmm. that's what it's so recent. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And it's, you know, and so what we want to do is, you know, take as many different avenues to utilize. You know, I mean, there are people in our audience here that are, you know, very well to do and very much, you know, honed in on wanting to help and do more for the planet. And so when these things arrive, I want to make sure that we use this platform. Yeah, we can talk about the money piece. We can talk about, and it absolutely has relevance. I mean, let's talk about that for a moment. It's like, how many of us come across these types of stories and start to create a perception on money? Start to create a perception on those greedy people, and then, you know, then we see the kind of numbers that we're making, and there's all of a sudden immediate association with, like, millions of dollars with greed, multi-billions of dollars with greed. And then when all of a sudden, if you buy into that association, what does that then do to your life?
Right.
And then so, I mean, sure, many of us, especially, let's say, when you heard it, right, and you were thinking, oh my God, this is terrible, mm-hmm. right? If you had millions of dollars sitting in your bank account, what would you have done in that moment as soon as you heard? If you had like millions of dollars, just like...
Oh, I mean, I would have gotten the best, you know... I mean, again, this is a legal issue. I mean, it's a government issue. It's a
right.
legal case. It's a court case. It's...
Because you're passionate about what you do. You would have...
Yes.
Even though it's not your child, and even it's
I have children. I mean, if this... I told the mother, if this was my child, I said I would have been in a padded cell by now. I mean, this all started at the end of June when, you know, he was first diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And so this is all very recent. Again, I just found out about it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, when Dr. Garcia shared it with me, I just, like, my, you know, blood started boiling. I mean, talk about getting triggered.
Right.
Because, again, it's like, you know, when you understand that, you know, what stress does to the body, and our whole goal in life in staying healthy is to remove these toxins and, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's toxic thoughts or toxic, you know, chemicals from our body, and to pump a young boy with toxic chemicals that isn't needed
anymore. Or at all. I mean, one would argue.
Next, and from what I understand, for the next 3 years,
right?
Is the young is how and after one
round, I don't think
she said
I don't any human being after yeah. being pumped for 3 years straight is gonna come out great.
And again, so yeah, I mean,
unless they're trying to use some kind of experimental thing, which is worse because you can't guinea pig on human beings anyway. So
yeah,
going back to that scenario, if you had millions and millions of dollars and stuff like that, and you heard about this, you know, what would you have done?
I would get on board and to get the word out there. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. and get the word out there and get the best legal help and, you know, medical help that to mm-hmm. really research this and to find out what is in this young man's best interest.
Right, right.
And to set a precedent, because again, this isn't just one little boy. This is going on, and again, it's you know, where is it? Where does it end? Mm-hmm. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing about the world we live in is that a lot of people are saying all the time, it's like, oh my God, the world is getting worse and everything like that. It's like, no, most of what we see every day has already been going on. It's just social media and everything has made it much easier for things to come to light and much quicker and much easier to go viral, okay? Especially when things are positioned the right way. Did you see that GoFundMe scandal that just recently happened?
No.
There was a story about this girl who was stranded and needed gas, and a homeless person gave her $20, and then basically it saved her from the side of the road or whatever the case may be, and then she ran this GoFundMe to raise money to give it to that homeless vet, right?
Right.
Turns out it was a big expo. They were all in cahoots together.
Oh.
And the reason why they didn't get away when they got caught was she and her boyfriend got greedy and they weren't willing to pay out to the vet what was agreed.
Oh my gosh.
And so people were talking about this. It's like a whole big case right now because they're totally getting taken to the cleaners. But they were basically saying, had these people not become greedy, they would have gotten away with it. Mm. Now this creates a dichotomy in beliefs that says, well, I don't want to be greedy so I can get away with stuff. Mm-hmm. Or I agree. So it's there's so many different things, and you know, for those of you who are watching, you could see our mascot for the for the show right there in the back, and she's decides she wanted to get into the shot.
She agrees with what we're saying. Ben.
She absolutely agrees. You know, and so one of the things is we see this all the time. So let's talk about how do we discern then to make sure that we don't allow circumstances like these derail us to the point where we get distracted from our own path in life. Because, you know, you easily could have allowed the blood to boil, get so triggered and everything like that, that you drop everything and anything that's going on in your life and just be just so consumed with what's going on here.
Right.
And unless you had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in there so that you can just like throw at it and just create all you can do is sit there and simmer and just be pissed off about
right.
it.
Right.
And
I know what that does to the body when you're sitting there and
right.
you know, marinating in your
yeah,
anger
with no outlet that. Or no, no, you know.
That's where so many of our cancers and disease
yeah.
comes from.
But that's why you need to make money so that when you do that, you don't have to sit there and simmer with it.
Right,
you
right,
just
right.
use the money to do something significant.
Right. But that's what we're doing.
Right.
Right.
So
I mean,
yeah.
And it's all about. And again, I as I share with everybody that I work with, and I apply this to my own life, it's like I don't want to focus on what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I want to promote freedom of choice and medical health care.
Right.
You know, so, you know, whether it's for yourself or your child, that we should have freedom of choice. It's not don't do this, it's do this. You know, it's like we should have choice.
So how do we know then what's the right choice, you know, when it comes to our health, our money, and all those different things? Because I know you mentioned that a few times. You know, what is choice? I mean, what is the right choice? Because I think a lot of people are challenged with, I don't know what the right choice
is. But that's why I'm saying you do your research. You have to become your own advocate, your own doctor, and you have to do the research. And what happens is when situations happen like this or when you get a diagnosis, oh, the doctor's the authority, and if mm-hmm. he says do this, okay, I got to do this. I mean, one thing that blows my mind, mm-hmm. and I just want everybody to hear this and do your own research, but cancer's favorite food is sugar. And every oncologist's office, just check it out. There's nice piles of candy everywhere. And they don't, and so many cancer patients that I work with, I'll ask if their doctor recommended
eating good food
cut back or eliminate sugar. They're like, oh no, they said sugar's fine. I've actually
didn't
asked
you?
Them.
Yeah. Didn't you?
I mean, I'm, and again, everyone, when you get a PET scan, they make you drink a liquid that is sugary. So it makes the cancer cells light up like kids going to Disney World.
Well, no, I heard that, you know, a lot of...
What does that say about sugar and cancer?
I know. I mean, I heard there are some circumstances where, like, if they start to heal and they start to get better, one of the things that, as a result of doing all the chemo, you lose a ton of weight. And the body needs a certain amount of weight in order to be able to, you know, start to heal and get better, right?
Sure. Right.
And so I hear some doctors say, okay, here's a quick way for you to gain some weight back so that you can actually get to heal is go out and eat ice cream.
Right.
Jell-O.
Yeah. Eat all the junk food you want. You know, you can gain weight.
And because you need to gain weight, like, and you need to gain weight fast with what? Yeah. Crappy food so that you can what? I mean, feed the, you know, and where did they get that? How did they find out that sugar actually feeds the cancer?
Well, they again, with the PET scans, a perfect example is the fact that the PET scan came after that, but they realized that sugar excites cancer, the cancer cells. It actually makes...
So there's an actual study out there that they showed...
glucose feeds... Yes, of course. Uh-huh. Glucose feeds cancer cells.
Right.
And if it's its favorite food, I mean, then it's going to support it. So, you know, anything we want to get rid of in our life, whether it's a negative thought, we need to starve the thought, no longer feed that thought into our bodies.
And put the energy in where you do want to go.
Exactly. And the same thing with sugar. If cancer likes sugar, you got to starve the cancer cell and don't give it its favorite food to energize it and get stronger, better, faster, more powerful, all of that.
Yeah. Know, like, and for those of you listening and still wondering, well, what does it have to do with my money problems and stuff like that? Hey, If you starve the negative thoughts of what it is, if you're concerned about money and stuff like that, and you're stressed about it, okay, think about the people that you've ever been around that were stressed and anxious all the time. Did you want to spend time with them? What makes you think that money wants to spend time with you if you're stressed and worried about it? You put your energy to where you want to go, to what you want to do. Nobody said it's the easiest thing in the world. It's a simple concept, but it's not the easiest thing in the world, especially with all the propaganda around us, with all the things that bring our attention. It's like, you know, look at the commercials that are out there about debt and about all this. Even the stuff like they when they want to get people who have been have all the mesothelioma or mm-hmm. all those different things. I don't even know if I pronounce that right. Doesn't matter.
Close
but
enough.
Yeah. and they advertise the doom and gloom and everything like that as a way to get people to take action. You know, I think but here's the thing. Okay, I know you say research and everything like that, and you know what, the people in PhDs and PhD programs, they take classes and courses on how to research.
Right.
So what do you say to people then who don't know Google foo? They don't know how to discern. They don't know how to quote unquote research. They don't even know where to begin. Okay, so it's easy to think, because this is what you do. You do a lot of this for the work that you do. But how about people who are just finding out about this and they're going, okay, I have a money problem. I have a cancer thing. I have whatever the case may be. Where do I start doing my research? How do I know where to go?
Right. Well, again, you take your doctor's recommendations and then you research it yourself. Take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it as fact. And I just want to say this too, because I was working with a young girl last week, 26, rushed off, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer, and they want her to, you know, get chemo and surgery, like, within, you know, the next week or two. I mean, it's just like there's this emergency. And the thing is that cancerous tumors most likely has been in your body for years.
Mm-hmm.
And they scare you into thinking it gets, you know, it doubles every day and there's this emergency. But the thing is rushing into something uninformed is going to more than likely give you more stress, more disease, more, you know, worse condition than if you were to take some time and do the homework. So they make it sound like the house is on fire and you got to do it now, get it out now. Mm-hmm. But just take some time to, you know, to make your own informed decision. Mm-hmm. Do the research, ask questions, weigh both options, see what's best for you, and ask your family.
Yeah, apply weight to both options.
Yes, exactly. I mean, right. But yes. So
I think what we're talking about is how then, you know, what we can do to make sure we don't get caught up in the cancer of capitalism and the cancer of the world is to focus on making empowered decisions. And until you gain a real deep level of trust from one of your whatever source you're listening to, and most people don't spend that much time with their doctors to gain that level of trust, take everything that is said and stated to you with a grain of salt. I know recently, I usually don't go see doctors, but recently I was like, you know, I've been paying for this thing, this whole insurance thing. I might as well get my free little thing and get a blood thing, or whatever the case may be, a blood test. And I met my doctor, and right off the bat, and she's great. Great doctor from UCLA. Yay, Bruins. We beat SC. Yay. Okay. And what happened was she realized right off the bat that I was not going to just sit there and just say, to everything. I would ask her the questions. I challenge it. I was like, how do we know that? This and that, whatever the case may be. And at first, it was a little bit like, oh, who's this guy, right? And then she realized that I just, you know, I was one of those people that wants to make informed, empowered choices and decisions in my life. And so I asked her, I asked different scenarios, like if I do this, would it be better? If I do that, would it be better? If I do this, would it be, you know, and those types of things. And she goes, wow, you know, this is actually a really good conversation. And I think most doctors just aren't having that level of engagement enough to provide the information. They have so much information in their head, and because patients don't ask questions,
right,
They only give one specific diagnosis or prescribe something, and if you as the patient aren't taken upon yourself to diligently ask the appropriate questions or be educated, because that's a lot of what you do too.
Right, right.
You empower your clients and your students to ask the right questions. And I think that's the first step. You take everything with a grain of salt, even from us, what we're saying today, take it with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. and then go out there and ask the questions and find out from other people. Okay. Again, we're not doctors or anything like that. We're just very passionate people who care about humanity, who care about, you know, taking a better look at capitalism and helping you make empowered decisions and choices in life, mm-hmm. you know. Everything that, and just because they wear a white coat or whatever the case may be, and that's why when I run some of my money lab things, I put on a white lab coat just so that I can have more authority, because it's this weird, iconic, metaphorical thing that we bought into, that anybody with a lab coat must be, you know, have some kind of a cachet,
right.
or kind of authority.
Authority, right. Power. Right.
Right?
They know more than me. That's what it means.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
that's
why
we don't question
that. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to start walking around every day with a lab coat on. everywhere, you know, and even if I drip food on it and everything, I'm gonna leave it on there so I look like the mad scientist, mm-hmm. really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that one.
I think it'll be really helpful when I go out, you know, when, you know, help me, like, you know, get the ladies or something.
Yeah, good luck. A man in uniform, right?
A man in a white lab coat?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Man, yeah, it's kind of a uniform.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. But anyway, I mean, so what we're going to do is make sure that we put a link as soon as we get it for the petition in the blog post that we're going to create out of this. We're also going to provide the link as soon as we get it for those of you who are interested in petitioning and being part of this movement and maybe sharing this video. I think what would be one of the easiest ways is to share the recording of our audio or video today to kind of like anybody who is thinking about it, or is just trusting one authority and not doing their due diligence. You have to do that. I mean, and it goes with everything else in life. I mean, if you're, you know, I always tell people who are thinking about working with me to shop around, you know,
right.
Go ask those. I mean, there's a ton of money people out there. Not everybody does it the way I do it, you know, but, you know, there's a ton of people out there, and I'm not an empowering. Just go shop it. I don't need you to buy into everything. Not everybody's a good fit. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure of that. I know for a fact not everybody's a good fit for me. And similarly for you, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, there are people who literally do not want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the will to live. If the will to live isn't there, we can find any way to live.
Yeah.
But
if the will to live is there, I mean, you've done it firsthand. Terminal cancer turned it around with the work that you've done, in conjunction, of course, with the right doctors. In conjunction,
sure.
Well, that's why you work with Dr. Garcia.
That support with protocols that support the immune system. So when you remove the dis-ease of the soul, the mm-hmm. body often follows, and that's the area that I focus on specifically.
Right, right. And I think a lot of what you help people realize, and I do the same thing too, is how poorly they're taking care of their vehicle,
mm-hmm.
their bodies, their instrument of creating happiness and success in this lifetime.
Right.
And I think the approach that some people say, oh, this is the money guy, what does he do? He basically works on your whole entire being.
Right, right.
Because that's what you need to do to truly create, to heal from money anxiety, to heal from cancer, to heal from all these things that are going
right.
on. It's your whole entire body.
Right, right. Right. I mean, yeah, cancer is a symptom. Money anxiety is a symptom. So what's the root underneath that? And so that's the area I work at, is identifying, clearing the root cause of dis-ease,
right.
whether it's cancer or money stories. That's what you do, right?
Right.
The root cause
yep.
of where that money story came from.
Yep.
And of course, in the stem cells, is if you don't remove the stem cells, the cancer often comes back. And so whether it's physical, and if you don't resolve the anger, you know, if you just chop off a branch of the tree of the anger of what happened last week, you're chopping off the branch versus uprooting the whole tree.
Yeah.
And that's when you see where your anger's coming from, and whether it's, you know,
right.
That's a cancerous thought that can make you very sick, and it's been shown that that's contributed to cancer.
Yeah. And I would say, I would actually venture so far as say money anxiety or bad money stories that are left unaddressed turn into a financial cancer in your life.
It is. Yeah.
It totally does. And then, you know, the stem cell, budgeting, for example, a lot of people out there who say the way to solve your problems is to budget. Mm-hmm. That's like chemo for stem cells. Mm-hmm. If you apply a budget or these outward type of solutions for your bad money story, you're really not eliminating the money story.
Right.
You're just
right.
covering it up.
Right, exactly.
You know, and a lot of people say, "Well, let me just go get more money to cover up that." Mm-hmm. And they make a lot, which is what I went through. Make a lot of money and then it went to nothing. And make a lot of money and went to nothing. I didn't cure the cancer. I just buried it for a little bit and it came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
Happens all the time.
Until
okay.
Until you know better.
Huh?
Until you know better.
But I, you know, so hopefully you guys got some good stuff out of this. I mean, you know, it's I'm so glad to finally get another co-host again, albeit even if it's just a guest. For a while in the beginning, I had another female millennial co-host. She was great. Everybody loved listening because there was that dynamic and everything. And you know, I because she was a millennial, I used to make fun of her a lot, and it was fun because she was so cool about it. But I think
she probably thought you knew what you're talking about or something.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Sometimes I think I know what I'm talking about, but I'm very happy to be corrected and to be, you know, to stand corrected or even sitting, because that's what we're doing.
Get corrected.
Yeah. But, you know, I think this is really cool. I think this was a good discussion on understanding, you know, the metaphorical representations of what we see across the board, you know. If we see cancer in one place, there's probably a cancer somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at how ridiculous this story is with Nicholas and everything like that. We know for a fact that what drives that is a cancer within that space, whether it be in the medical industry, whether it be in the world of capitalism, whether it be in the whole world of the industry of big pharma, you know. Mm-hmm. There are cancers there. And as long as there are cancers there, then there are going to be more cancers that show up in the individual people who are touched by these cancer-ridden industries.
Right.
Because
it's rampant,
it's rampant, and it'll create stress and distress and all these different things that eventually, because people aren't always investing like we do in personal development, personal growth, they'll buy into that.
Right.
And when they buy into that, eventually what happens is what? They take it on.
Right, they take it on. And when we go back and understand that, you know, bottom line is the intelligence that created the body has a perfect blueprint for health.
Yep.
And if we would just get out of the way and let the body heal itself, support it in healing itself versus taking all of these chemicals and...
Now we can't vilify it all because human beings are living longer than they ever used to. I mean, it used to be the lifespan was 30 years for human beings. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you and I would be dead already.
Mm-hmm. I'm dead, but...
Whatever.
Not quite.
Hello. Not quite. Don't try to be older than you actually are.
No.
No, but I mean, seriously, I mean, so the medical advances have absolutely helped.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my God, I mean, Western medicine. I mean, there's nothing like it in an emergency.
Sure. When your arm is broken, people used to die from paper cut type of scenarios. Mm-hmm. Gangrene, and all of a sudden their fingers get cut off, but if they don't cut off fast enough, all of a sudden the rest of their arm goes, and all of a sudden the rest of their arm goes, and all of a sudden their whole body goes.
Right.
You know, little tiny cut. A common cold people would die from. Okay, so we're not here to say that all medicine is bad. What we're saying is you as a consumer, you as the person that wants to create success in your life, happiness, peace, financial wealth, all those different things, you have to be diligent about having that discerning eye, okay, about what you buy into, what works uniquely for you. We live in a time where it's even easier to create a unique path and lifestyle of happiness and success and health and wealth and everything like that. And because of all the different research, there's so many more research, and so there's like a buffet, right? Mm-hmm. And in a buffet, you could pick things that are good for you, and there's a whole bunch of things that aren't good for you.
Right.
And that's kind of the world we live in. It's not like, you know, there's no longer three channels on TV. We have like, forget it. There was one time the other night, I was sitting there going through the channels to figure out what to watch before eating dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even figure out. By the time I figured it out, dinner was cold. It was like half an hour had gone by, and I still couldn't decide. And I realized something.
Did you find anything you wanted to watch in that half hour? Guess not, because you kept going.
No,
right?
No.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah. And I think part of me should have realized at that point, maybe I'm not supposed to watch anything, and maybe just to have a good dinner.
Nice.
And enjoy what that's all about. And, you know, and so there's that harmonious balance, which is that book that I'm writing, like from Tekken Zen. Anyway, so believe it or not, it's top of the hour.
Yes.
We are actually done. We're approaching the end of it. But, you know, hopefully you guys got a lot out of this. You know, thank you so much for coming on and being a co-host today. It's one of those things where I think the more we're able to educate people or at least bring awareness to what is actually going on. You know, I think Nicholas's story is really about bringing awareness that, hey, by the way, this happens. This is going on. This is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
How are you going to take this as something? Are you going to take this as a way to empower you to make better choices, to do your due diligence? Or are you going to use this as a trigger to get yourself all caught up and derailed from life? And everything is a choice.
Right.
You know, we didn't present this to you so that you can get pissed off and angry at people.
Right.
We can, so that you see that there are things going on that require us to take, you know, take a discerning eye to it.
Right. You know, and one of my favorite lines is, you know, well, somebody should do something about that. You know, and what I realized one day is I'm somebody, you're somebody.
Right.
You know, you be somebody. What
right.
do you feel called to be a change in? And, you know, instead of waiting for somebody else to do it, maybe that's your calling. So
right.
follow that.
Yeah. And for those of you who are prolific in social media, more prolific than us, then take this and maybe that your contribution is to share this out to as many people as possible.
Right. However you feel called, you know, get involved in, you know, and again, we don't all need to be activists. This isn't about that, but it's about if there's something you believe in, then honor that and share it. And just on a closing note, your belief in your protocol of whatever you're doing for your health is paramount. And so if you believe this is the best route for me, own it 100% no matter what you choose. That belief that this is what's going to heal me and that belief will heal you more than whatever treatment that you're doing on both sides of the equation. So your belief that you can get well is what is going to give you the most powerful healing remedy right there. So
and we're talking about healing on everything.
All levels, yeah.
Physical. Not just physical, mental, emotional, financial, all those different things. You have to believe it first.
Right.
You know, and you know, the push today is not so much to like, oh yeah, let's get the Money Lab podcast out there and stuff like this particular episode. There's so much really, you know, the content. What I would love for our audience to do is not share for the fact that we're driving traffic to the Money Lab, but really share to help elevate an awareness. So if you do have the capability of doing that and you don't have millions and millions of dollars to jump in the fray and just kind of help, you know, Nicholas's situation, post your blurb, post the hashtag, and just share it out there. For those of you who are good at Instagram or good at Facebook or Twitter or something like that, this is what you do. This is how you contribute if you believe in to helping, you know, doing your part to righting this wrong. I actually think it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
anyone that takes a child away, and again, it's not that she wasn't going to treat at all. It was going to, you know, use these other forms of treatment that support health and life.
Right. Alternative treatment.
Alternative treatments.
And she expressed that to the court, too, right?
Of course. And so it's not like she was just going to pray it away and not do anything.
Jesus.
And, you know, but so she was very active, but they just didn't.
They didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care. And there's nothing warranted that says that he needs this. There's no medical research to support what they're doing to this child. And it's just flat out wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for sharing the story. Hey, and thank you all for those of you who are thinking about how you can actually help the circumstance. We're going to actually post a lot of links as the days go by, as things come up. So make sure you check back on the comments. You could check back on the blog once the blog is posted. And if you follow us, then you'll probably get updated and everything as well. So make sure you follow us on YouTube, follow us on Facebook, all those different things. You know, the links are all going to be in there. So look for that. Okay. And Well, that's our show for this week. Again, if you found this show to be valuable, I can't imagine why, how you couldn't have. It's just so much awareness, and thank you so much for sharing that story, because that came to you and you brought it to my attention, and we said, can we talk about that? I was like, absolutely, because it's what drives that is what helps keeps a lot of people stuck and having this aversion around money, because they see these people who are misusing you know, the money, you know, to create these circumstances that are just not cool. It really isn't cool. And if you know someone that can benefit from what we talked about the show, God, share it. Okay, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube Live, or give us a comment and everything like that. So that way we can, you know, actually go out and make a difference. And that's a wrap. Have an amazing week to applying the knowledge from today. And we'll be back next week with the first female and youngest owner of a very different and unique debt collection agency, Mary Shores, on the Money Lab Live podcast. This is Wei.
And Pamela.
Signing off from the Money Lab. See ya. Have a great week.
Bye.